Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world peace, having food distributed to all on our planet. And we especially hold at this critical time the heads of government worldwide, that they make their decision out of the power of love rather than the love of power. Just noticing our thoughts and releasing any thought of the future right now, any thought of the past, and presencing yourself to the moment right now. Right now. Envision silver white light moving up your spinal pathway like a spinning silver disc moving up slowly up your spine, all the way up and even through your neck area, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Now focusing your attention at the point between your eyebrows and a little higher. Know that I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one divine force, one God. It is the fullness of wisdom. It is creativity itself. It is unconditional love. Being omnipresent, it expresses not only around me and in me, but through me and as me. In all ways, for all ways, because I am immersed in it, it is my very life. Today, right here and now, I no longer struggle to rid myself of habits and tendencies and thoughts that no longer serve me. I surrender, I let go. I release these limiting crutches. I realize I am as deep as the universe is vast. And instead of facing outward, I now face inward. And I acknowledge I have placed myself into a space that creates a field of consciousness for me to truly remember who I really am. I acknowledge I am an individual cell within an infinite organism. Being immersed in God, I am co-creator, in partnership with infinite wisdom, creativity, and love, I lift my vision. I refine my ideas. I release limiting ideas, and I clearly focus on my heart's desire. I am free in body, mind, heart, and spirit. I am a clear receptacle for the best that life has to offer me: health, vitality, longevity, loving, supportive, nurturing relationships, and true prosperity. I'm thankful for this conscious realization of who I really am. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. Most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. So the topic today is dumping our limiting crutches. Dumping our limiting crutches. Three things I want to address this morning. Most of the time, my first point of the topic is about self-reflection, self-examination. It's been said the unexamined life is not worth living. So what I'd like us to self-reflect on is, what is my focus? What's my focus of attention most of the time? Is it, as a couple of weeks ago or last week we addressed, about worry? Is it about worry, or is it about my dreams? I like what Neil Donald Walsh had to say. I read a little reading from a calendar of readings that he has every day. And for March 28th, it said, "Desire is the beginning of all creation. It is first thought. It is a grand feeling within the soul. It is God choosing what next to create." And I might add, through you. Through you. So what is our focus? Our worries or our desires and dreams? Is our focus about what's impossible in life or what is possible? Even if it doesn't look probable, is our focus about empowerment for ourselves and for others? Or is it about leaning on crutches? And I'll get back to that in a moment. Second point I'll address is just touching a moment on mind dynamics, specifically about a principle called the principle of reversibility. A principle of reversibility. And I want to especially note two ways to dump crutches. Not the only ways, but pretty powerful ways. And then the third point, the question is, what would Jesus Christ do if Christ were me? Not if I were Jesus Christ, what would I do? If Jesus the Christ were me, what would Christ do? That's truly a great question to ask just before Easter. So let's go back to number one as far as our focus. What's our point of focus? Are we willing to scrutinize what we focus our attention on? You know, last week I said about worry being immobilizing the present by what might happen in the future. And of course, it's fear-based. When we look at our desires, we're looking at what's truly within our heart. I like to say it this way. When we're really in touch with our desires, it's something like that infinite within us saying, do that, go there, be that, take that. I want to do, be, take that through you. Are we willing to move from impossibility and crutches by being aware of what they look like in our own individual lives? Some crutches. Are we willing to support, to examine all supposed lack and scarcity and areas that aren't working? And are we willing to stand tall as new thoughters and say, well, the common denominator in here is me, not like guilt, blame, and shame, and notice it's easy to say but, I'll get back to that in a moment. I've created all this in my life through conditioning, through my thoughts, through my beliefs, through my reactions and my actions. We either create, attract, allow, permit, promote, or step into conditions or circumstances. And I just want to touch on something here that I want to expand on next week, because next week I'll be speaking about high priority relationship. And I was, you know, kind of looking in my own life about what's worked in norms in my 30-year marriage through a blended family of 9 children. It's like we survived that, and it was difficult. The thing I want to say here today is that when we have a shift, and a couple people talked about a shift, when we change, the dynamic of the relationship changes, even if the other person doesn't change. And then again, we can come to clear choice, you know, choose soul. I've been talking a lot about that this last month. Choose soul. We can decide, choose whether we want to stay or leave. So that's a little preamble to next week. I said a little earlier, crutches. Like, what would be some of our crutches? Well, the if onlys are crutches. If only I had a different job. If only I had a job. If only I were single, if only I were married, if only I were married to someone else, if only he or she would stop being a certain way, if only I were born richer, if only I were born to different or better parents, if only I had not been abused, if only I had not been abandoned, the if onlys. We tend to lean on those as a crutch. Other crutches are the when-thens. You know the when-thens? When he or she comes into my life, boy, then. When he starts treating me right, then watch me treat him right. When she starts treating me like a king, I'll treat her like a queen then. When I finish my school or university or training is over, And here's the good news, or is it bad news? We're always in training. This is planet Earth, life. We're always in training. And we teach and train people how to treat us. Phil McGraw is great on that, but we've been saying that for 17 years here at the center. I love it when it all shows up on TV and everybody's just laughing it up now, you know. When I can get away from my parents, then. When I'll have some time, then I'll do it. When I'm richer, then I'll tithe. When I'm earning a certain amount, then I'll be happy. When I have a certain amount of money in the bank, then. When I'm debt-free, then. When my ship comes in, there'll probably be a dock strike. When I'm feeling better, when I'm feeling better. The when thens, crutch, another crutch. So you got a couple of crutches, if only and when thens. And what if the apprehension, what if this happens? Oh my God, dread, worry. What if I lose my job, or what if they downsize, or what if I can't find a job? What if I fail? What if I make a mistake? What if people reject me? What if he or she leaves me? What if they die? Another crutch. The yes buts. Yes, but you see, the yes is kind of to not make waves. And the but, what comes after the but is your truth about something. And I say, get your butt out of the way. I learned years ago at a wonderful workshop. It was then called the S Training, but it's now called the Landmark Forum, to substitute that word. And the little word you substitute it with is and. And it's so simple. You see, I'll just use something very specific and physical, if you don't mind. Material, if you don't mind. Well, I'd like to go on that holiday, say, to Hawaii, but I can't afford it. You substitute but with and, okay? Well, I'd like to go to Hawaii, and right now, doesn't seem like I have the money, and I'm going to look for ways and means. Do you see, one with the but is impossibility, and one with the and is possibility. I can't go because, but, you know, who will look after my kids? I'd like to go, and I'm going to stand in the possibility of attracting someone wonderful to step forward to look after the children. So many times with the Love at the Core, they say to me, well, 10 Thursdays, you know, and the yama-yamas, you know. But I say, and you could ask if something could really work so that you could have, do what you're doing and rearrange whatever and be at the 10 sessions. Oh, something opens up. Tell your boss what you're taking. And that you really want to be there. And all of a sudden they show up at the number one and they say, it's all working. I can be there. Because they shifted from but to and. Very, very small and significant shift. Letting go of that crutch. I can't, of course, we could go into that forever. And I really love what one of my mentors said. I can't is the crucifixion of I can. And at the center here, we do look at the metaphysical interpretations and meanings behind the crucifixion. And of course, we do not focus on the crucifixion. We focus on the resurrection, the new birth. Not being born again, being born anew. Being born anew and really knowing who we really are and living out of that conscious awareness. And of course, I've got about 5 crutches around me now. Man, I'm almost surrounded here. The leaning on other people. I'm not talking about support now. I'm talking about real leaning, like dependent and even codependency. Sometimes it's our parents forever. You know, we have 9 children between us. I just feel led to share this. Wasn't prepared. And we said to the kids, you know what? You have to be going to school or working to live here. And when you move, it's forever. Do you know that has held them in such good stead? Do you know what that has done? That has held them as able. They don't have an ace in the hole, move back to mother and father's. It's held them very, very well. Now, I'm not saying that if you've decided the other way that that's the wrong decision. I'm just telling you what really worked for us. Somebody said, oh, Gail, you'd renege. I said, oh, no, I wouldn't. When you've got 9, you think about that. Maybe if you just got 1, well. Something like when we were going to go to Hawaii. We said, okay, all you kids can come along and you need to contribute to it. The little kids had to contribute $50. This is a long time ago now. $50 was quite a bit of money. And the bigger kids had to contribute $100. And if they didn't have it, they wouldn't get to go. My friend said, Gail, you'd let them go. I said, no, I wouldn't. I mean, what's the use of putting down a parameter and a rule and a guideline and a boundary if you're going to, okay. It was amazing what those children did. And it took us a couple of years, you know. When they strapped it, back then it was Ward Air. And with Ward Air, when you got on the plane, your holiday started. These kids strapped into their seats. And they were going to Hawaii. And like they helped themselves get there. So, you know, leaning. Sometimes we lean on our children forever. Sometimes friends, sometimes organizations. So that's another crutch. And another crutch is manipulation. And we could do, hey, couldn't we take each one of these and just look at them for a half a minute, an hour? Yes. Sulking is a crutch, a manipulative crutch. Temper tantrums is another one. Being charming all the time. I remember there used to be a fellow that used to come to the center and he wanted to take on quite a bit of responsibility. And what I noticed about him is when he didn't keep his commitment, which was quite often, he'd turn on the charm. But the charm didn't work with me. I'd say, you said you'd do this. Well, you know. Seeking attention. That can happen in many different ways. Being sick sometimes can be a crutch and a form of manipulation. Because when we're not well, you see, people don't expect very much of you. Can't do very much. I want to tell you a story about in some New Thought churches, they use the term spiritual mind treatment for prayer. We use the term affirmative prayer, and we do align it with spiritual mind treatment. But this fellow said, well, you should come to my church. He said, the other day, there was a cripple in the audience. And we prayed, and we treated, and he got up with his crutches, and he dropped one crutch. And the person said, really? I said, yes. He said, and we prayed and we prayed and we treated, and he dropped the other crutch. I said, really? Then what happened? He said, well, he fell flat on his ass. He's a cripple, you know. Now, pardon my expression there. However, the point I want to make there is sometimes we hold people a certain way. She's a cripple, you know. She can't do it. She has this learning disability. They can't do it. Well, you know, look in our lives. Look in our lives. If we hold people that way and we hold their crutches in place for them instead of kicking them out from under them. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. I want to just touch a moment on mind dynamics. Just excuse me for a moment. Particularly the law of reversibility. There was a preacher who was preaching against the sins of drinking. And he had a glass of vodka up at the podium. And he had a little live worm. And he held the glass of vodka up and he took this little live worm and he dropped it into the glass of vodka. And the worm just went and disappeared. And he says, what's the moral of the story, my friends? And a little old lady at the back stood up. She stood up and she says, if you drink, you don't have worms. Reminds me of the fellow who read that smoking wasn't good for your health, so he quit reading. Now, sometimes we say, I'm tired. Some people say, well, how are you? And sometimes we're almost sorry we asked, but I'm tired. I learned a little song at an international conference of New Thought that brought a couple thousand people together, and I want to teach it to you, and some of you that have been coming to the center a long time, you know this one. And Anna Muscuri, I'm not. But I'll tell you, this will shift you. This will get rid of the crutch, I'm tired, in the moment. And you do have to look after yourself. So here's the little song, and I'd like you to learn it quickly with me. It just has a few words. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I'm alive, alert, awake. I'm awake, alert, alive. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. So at one point you go backwards. Now I'll tell you, you sing that three times in the shower, you do not feel tired anymore. Or you're not even in the shower. Because the conscious mind cannot focus on more than one precise thing at exactly the same time. What would be your focus? I'm tired, or I'm alive, alert. Oh, I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. So let's do it. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. I'm alive, alert, awake. I'm awake, alert, alive. I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. Yes. Thank you. Teach it to your kids, especially the teenagers when they don't want to go to school in the morning. We are not what we think we are, but what we think we are. We are not what we think we are, but what we think we are. Two ways that we can, very powerful ways that we can dump our crutches. And if you're making notes, just draw two little circles right now. And from the one circle, draw an arrow coming out from within the middle to outside. And on the second circle, draw an arrow coming from the outside, pointing to the inside. Now, this is a very, very simple way to remember distinctions between psychoanalysis and psychotherapy. Now, if any of you have master's or doctorate's degrees in psychology right now, excuse me for my simplicity for the next few moments. But when I learned this to set at a seminar before I took any of this at university, it was like, oh, yes. So the circle with the arrow pointing out, that denotes psychoanalysis. So what that is you place yourself into a safe environment where you can talk about the things that have really hurt you, damaged you, caused you grief, trauma, etc. And you speak about them to the degree where they no longer have the buzz for you. You know, that you're, I'll say it like this, that you're complete with it, that you don't have to keep revisiting that story for the drama. And that's a form of manipulation also. Well, if you had my life, so we amplify it to release the sting and let it go. We don't ever remove it from our mind. I'll say it that way. We need to have a lobotomy for that. Now, the other circle denotes psychotherapy, and that's showing the arrow going in. And that's like new thought. That's like placing yourself into an environment like this, or powerful seminars, that you're infilling your mind with more positive energy about who you are, about empowerment, about you being a spiritual being first and having all the potential that is necessary to break through whatever challenge may be presenting itself to you individually or collectively, even as a planet. So, you know, you've heard the saying, what the mind can conceive and believe it can achieve. I say that there's something missing there. It's whatever the mind can conceive, the idea, believe with faith in your heart, and accept it can achieve. And so many times people have the idea, they believe it, and it's just not happening for them because they need to work on their self-esteem. They need to work on their acceptability to accept what it is that they're envisioning for themselves. So, you know, even a radical intervention by the best therapist is powerless unless there's a commitment to change. Even radical intervention by the best therapist is powerless unless there's a commitment to change. I'm going to tell this story again. I tell about once a year, so those of you who have heard it, hold on. A lot of people haven't heard it. Prominent Hollywood psychiatrist. He had quite a career, but he was feeling unfulfilled. He was tired of counseling people who use therapy mainly to cope rather than to break through and move beyond the problem. He didn't want clients to lean, rather he wanted them to come to resolution and breakthrough. He decided that the only clients he wanted to work with would be those that clearly defined the results that they wanted in therapy and who would commit to achieving it in a reasonable length of time. Now there's a stand. Wow. He had come into his office and a famous actress, this is a true story, chronic nail biter, bleeding at the fingers, had been in therapy 13 years, and part of it was she wanted to, you know, not bite her nails. He informed her after speaking with her for a while that he would not take her as a client, but he said, "I will send you out of here with everything you need to know to stop biting your nails." And she said, "What is that?" And he says, "All you have to do to stop is to take your hand out of your mouth." She became violently angry. She picked up an ashtray and threw it. She stomped and screeched for several minutes, and then she stopped. She says, "You know, no one ever put it quite to me like that before." Mark's laughing psychiatrist. And she stopped biting her nails. It requires the willingness to take relevant steps to accomplish what we want. We say we want.
A Course in Miracles says, we as teachers represent another choice one has forgotten. We as teachers represent another choice one has forgotten. Good question to ask ourselves in dumping our limiting crutches is, what am I not seeing that makes this look like a huge problem? Now, I asked earlier, and I want to complete with this, is what would Jesus the Christ do if Christ were me? Well, here's some of the things that avatars, whether it's Jesus or people that were very wholly enlightened. They be, they act, they command out of impersonal principle. It's something like I said earlier, the law of reversibility. You know, we take whatever it is and we like change it to a positive affirmation. What is it in your life that you're up against right now? Just think about something you're up against. Could be physical, mental, emotional, family, social, career, health, relationship. Are you willing to change it to a positive affirmation? Write it, say it to yourself, speak it to others until there's no resistance left in you. That's what you're, why you're repeating it. Till there's no resistance left in you. I know sometimes people ask me about my meditation techniques, and you know I switch and do different things at different times, but I always end when I'm coming out and envisioning my future, I say certain things, but I always preamble it with, I am expressing and experiencing. That's accountability too. Like, I want to experience it, but I want to express it also. So I am expressing and experiencing perfect health and vitality and longevity. I say that every day. Whether I'm feeling not too hot or not. I am expressing and experiencing mental clarity, emotional wellness, spiritual maturity, soul remembrance. I live in the now. I am expressing and experiencing loving, supportive, nurturing, empowering, and generous relationships. What kind of people do you think you'd attract into your life if you stood in that? I am expressing and experiencing God's richness and abundance in, through, and as my life. As affluence, affluence, the root word is to flow. So getting back to Jesus the Christ, when he said to Lazarus, he says, come forth. He'd been dead for a while. At another instance, he said to someone, pick up your bed and walk. Pick up your bed. Don't leave it there to lie down on it again. Don't leave it there like a crutch to pick up again and lean on. So, here we are, come full circle. Are we willing to let go of some of these, you know? Let them go. Kick them out from under us. I want to teach you another little song. I don't know what it was with me this last week. I thought of all these songs that I wanted to sing. Maybe I should be taking singing lessons too. You all know the tune of Happy Birthday. Would you play the tune of Happy Birthday? And it's just got very simple words. God is blessing me now. And if we sing this, especially at a time when we're not feeling very blessed, when we're really leaning on all those crutches, we need to remember that God's presence and power is ever present, not at some distant place, right where we are, and is always blessing us now if we're willing to accept that. So God is blessing us now, please. God is blessing us now. God is blessing us now. God is blessing. God is blessing. God is blessing us now. Some of you kind of didn't want to sing. You know what? No, just a minute. I want to say something about that. Do you know, is that the way you are in life? I don't want to play. I don't want to do this. Just look to see if it really works in all areas of your life. If it does, great. If it doesn't, hey. God is blessing us now. God is blessing us now. God is blessing. God is blessing. God is blessing us now. And namaste to you. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Thank you.